here with us for the morning show as we check in on Wisconsin port activity. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The pandemic caused a reduction in freighter activity in the shipping season. The Port of Green Bay has published new numbers. Its cargo tonnage in and out of the port in 2020 dropped about 15% compared to the previous year. Coal used to be the port's largest import, but for the first time in decades, coal volume was less than 200,000 pounds. What questions do you have about port activity in your part of Wisconsin? Are you near the Twin Ports or Port Milwaukee? What do you want to know about import exports and harbor cleanups? 800-642-1234 to join in. Thomas Dakin is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering commercial development. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you, Kate. Happy to be here.
And Megan Hart is here as well, WPR sports reporter based in Green Bay, but she's been covering our state's commercial freight ports, specifically the challenges around climate change. Megan, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, Megan, let's start with you where you are in Green Bay. What is the Port of Green Bay experiencing in the pandemic?
Well, as you said, the Port of Green Bay has experienced a total cargo reduction of about 15% this year. Usually their goal is about 2 million tons, and they didn't quite hit that. But they do say it was a better year, actually, than 2016 and 2017. So you can kind of see how much they've grown in recent years.
So the pandemic not really eating into the operations there.
Well, you know, it. I think it kind of is the story changed throughout the year. I know, for example, at the Port of Duluth Superior, things picked up in the second half of the year. Early in the pandemic, I think when more businesses were shut down, it had a larger impact at ports across the state.
Tom, what are you experiencing with commercial shipping in your region at Port Milwaukee?
Well, Port Milwaukee was a bit of an anomaly last year. In 2020, the Milwaukee Harbor saw its traffic actually increase a little over 5%, and that's both the shipments handled by the municipal, the city-owned port, as well as the private docks. And that came at a time when overall in the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Seaway region, you had about a little under a 2% decline. So we were bucking a trend here in Milwaukee.
What was behind that?
Well, in part, exports of grain, exports of construction materials. And you mentioned in your introduction that that coal is down. I think you said up in the Green Bay port. I believe that's probably the case.
Yeah.
Probably every port in the Great Lakes, because coal, obviously, the demand for that has been dropping for years as it's being replaced by natural gas. For generating electricity and heating purposes and by sustainable fuels.
Megan, let's go to the top of the state here, Port of Duluth Superior. This is the largest port by tonnage on the Great Lakes. How has this port been affected with cargo shipping?
It has been affected by the pandemic. It did see a decline in total tonnage this year. Through October, it was down 29%. And that can be directly related to the pandemic. The Port of Duluth Superior is primarily a natural resources port, so it deals with a lot of raw materials. The main one is iron ore, which accounts for 55% of its tonnage. And that was down 27% through the end of October. And that had to do with some of Minnesota's iron ore mines actually closing early in the pandemic when appliance and auto manufacturers shut down. And then, as was just alluded to, that kind of led to a further decline in demand for coal because those manufacturers no longer needed as much energy. And on the Superior side of the port is the largest coal terminal on the Great Lakes, and that was closed for about 6 weeks early in the year. So overall, coal was down 45% through the end of October when compared to 2019.
If I may just interject here, I think
pretty clear coal isn't the future. I think we all know that. I think that's been established for several years. What could be the future, though, is exports, those materials that we ship outside of the United States. And in Milwaukee, the port is about to begin construction this spring on a $35 million grain export facility for a company called DeLong Company that's based in Clinton, Wisconsin. and that will be used to ship distiller's grains, which is an animal feed supplement to customers throughout the world. And I'm just going to mention that in light of the change in presidents that we just had, that, you know, maybe not fighting trade wars with our allies is a good thing for people in Wisconsin.
The ripple effect there. Tom Dakin is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Megan Hart is a WPR reporter covering commercial freight ports in northern and eastern Wisconsin. We're looking at port activity around the state amid the pandemic. Do you live in Superior or Duluth? Have you seen the Twin Ports collaborate? What do you think makes this partnership unique? Do you live near another port? Which one? What is it like? 800-642-1234. Megan, you mentioned there with the Twin Ports commodities being quite tamped down in 2020. Did that impact layoffs or furloughs or operations at the Twin Ports?
Port of Duluth Superior contributes billions of dollars to the regional economy. So any difficulties that are felt there are felt throughout the region. But of course, 2020 was a really difficult year across a lot of industries. The Port Authority leases to operators for the most part, and I'm not aware of onshore layoffs, though, like I said, the coal terminal was closed for weeks. But I know Key Lakes, which is a shipping company, they did actually bench three of their ships due to decreased demand related to the pandemic, and that resulted in about 100 layoffs around July. But those were people who worked on the ships. And then I know in the second part of the year, actually, at the Port of Duluth Superior, at least, they had some cargo that was expected earlier in the year that was delayed. So their shipping schedule was changed pretty dramatically, sort of as a result of the pandemic. And so many workers there late in the year actually were working quite hard later into the year than they normally would to deal with those shipments.
Oh, that's interesting, because Port of Los Angeles, our nation's largest port, in November, it marked its best month in history due to a surge in imports, like warehouses and stores restocking after months of the pandemic. Tom, did you see any surges in the late fall at Port Milwaukee?
I must confess, I haven't been looking at the figures on a month-to-month basis. I'm a little bit late to the game of covering harbors and ports, which I've mostly got into because of their effect on commercial development.
Yeah,
I would say this, that as of late fall, the Milwaukee Harbor was already projecting that it was going to have a pretty good year, all things considered, both the pandemic's effects on the economy, as well as about a year ago, we had a terrible storm on the Great Lakes down here in the Milwaukee area that caused millions of dollars of damage to the port, and they managed to put up impressive numbers despite that as well.
Megan, the Twin Ports had a good year for wind and energy, you know, these wind turbine components, thinking about those massive fiberglass blades. What is the story with wind energy freight?
Yeah, so the Port of Duluth Superior did have a record-breaking year for wind energy freight. That goes through their general cargo terminal, which is operated by the Port Authority. The last time they broke a record, I think, was 2008, and they said they just barely broke it back then. And then they kind of smashed it this past year. They had 30 ships from 8 different countries bring in equipment to assemble 154 wind turbines in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And I asked if that was a trend that they see continuing. They said it's unlikely maybe that they'll break the record again this year, and that it really kind of comes down to where those wind farm projects are taking place. But they're hopeful that will continue to be a strong cargo in the future.
We're talking with WPR reporter Megan Hart and Tom Dakin. Tom is a business reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Megan is a WPR reporter. They've been looking at Wisconsin's commercial freight ports. Do you live near a port? Which one? What is it like? What do you see as far as cargo traffic? Do you work for the Great Lakes ports? What's your job? How has it been affected by the pandemic? Join in with what you're seeing, experiencing, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing port activity and cleanup here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Industrial pollution has plagued Milwaukee's waterways and its harbors for decades. An ambitious cleanup that could cost upwards of $400 million is underway for the city's estuary and harbor. What questions do you have about making our ports healthier and habitable for wildlife and people? What should a cleanup entail, and who is responsible? What grants or federal assistance do you want Wisconsin to pursue to clean up its harbors? 800-642-1234. We have reporters Tom Dakin from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Megan Hart from WPR, and they stay with us. Let's take a call now. John is with us from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, John.
Hi. I work on an icebreaker that escorts shipping during the winter months, and one of the things I've noticed was especially during spring breakout last spring, was a sharp decline in the number of vessels we were escorting, and we knew that several of them were staying in layup longer because of business closures and because they weren't sure if their crews could stay healthy and be underway. I think that's continuing to some extent. However, the seasonal ice is still, I think, the biggest factor that affects how much shipping continues or doesn't continue on the lakes. Because at the end of the day, pandemic or no pandemic, certain industries have to keep moving or the economy doesn't.
John, do you get the sense that there is enough room for all these freighters in layup?
Is there enough space? The shipping industry on the Great Lakes has been in place for long enough that I think the infrastructure is actually growing. I know that a new shipyard opened up in Escanaba recently, and there's certainly the capacity at the shipyards for more ships to be in layup has increased, but that doesn't help the economy at all if they're sitting idle, not carrying the bulk goods that make the Great Lakes economy work.
Mm-hmm. What do the crews do when a ship is in layup?
Unfortunately for the merchant mariners, if they're not working, they're not making money. I work for the government, so my salary is
consistent
by the grace of the taxpayers. But unfortunately the men and women that work in commercial shipping don't have that luxury.
John, thank you for sharing the story and giving your sense of what you're seeing, as you do on an icebreaker. Megan, what do you see when you talk to people who are a part of the port industry and what their role is? We think of the ships, but there are so many different jobs.
I would say for a story that aired late last year, I spoke to Deb DeLuca, who's executive director of the Duluth Seaway Port Authority, and Adam Tindelschlick, who's director of Port Milwaukee. And one thing that they both said, without any prompting, was that they've just been really grateful for the people who do work in the industry, because they do, like we just heard, they do keep the economy moving. They were essential workers throughout the pandemic, and they made adjustments to ensure they could continue to work. And also, they said they were impressed by how quickly the industry was able to adapt, but it's part of the nature of the industry to begin with, because there are already so many variables when you're dealing with shipping.
Tom, let's turn to the harbor cleanup now, this massive cleanup project for Milwaukee Harbor and its estuary. What is going on?
Well, the project is going to be cleaning up the harbor and portions of the Milwaukee, Menominee, and Kinnickinnick rivers that connect to the harbor. It's going to take years. It's going to cost probably upwards of $400 million, depending on what we include in that cleanup. Most of that, about $270 million, is likely going to be coming from federal taxpayers through the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And about another $100 million is coming from the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. And Of that amount, $360 million is going to be devoted to basically removing dirty mud, taking sediment on the river bottoms and harbor bottoms that's contaminated with PCBs and lead and all sorts of nasty stuff, mostly dating back to our industrial legacy here in Milwaukee in the late 1800s, and sucking the mud out and piping it to a facility where it can be safely stored and dried and over several years eventually turned into solid ground. And of that $360 million devoted to sediment removal, a big portion of that will be spent building the facility for storing that dried muck, and that's about $95 million, half of which is going to come through a low-interest loan provided by the EPA.
So a lot of money going into this cleanup. What is the timeline?
Well, that's really not known. It's going to take several years. I know the Lower Fox River up in Megan's neck of the woods recently finished a cleanup that took, I think, nearly 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know that it's going to be quite that long down here in the Milwaukee Harbor, but that sediment facility is going to be built over a course of about 2 years, starting probably at the end of this year. And we can't begin piping and storing the crap until we get that facility completed. So you've got that timeline. Once the facility is completed, you're probably pumping that stuff out for at least a couple more, 2 or 3 years. And in addition to that, you've got various projects that involve wetland restoration, habitat restoration that are tied to the various rivers that empty into the harbor. That's all designed to help clean things up and provide better wildlife and fish habitats.
We're talking with Tom Dakin, who is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Megan Hart is here, WPR reporter based in Green Bay. We're looking at cargo activity, harbor cleanup at our state ports. You can join in 800-642-1234. Megan, take us to Green Bay with the coal piles. What is the status of these coal piles as Green Bay tries to clean up its riverfront?
Well, Brown County is in talks with Wisconsin Public Service to purchase a 40-acre portion of the Pulliam Power Plant right on the edge of the Fox River here in Green Bay. And right now, we're kind of at a holding point just at this moment. For more than a decade, it's been part of the strategic plan for the city and the county, and with help from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, they determined that they should prioritize purchasing this land to help expand the port of Green Bay. Earlier this month, Governor Tony Evers announced a $500,000 idle sites grant to help Brown County purchase the land. That grant has to be approved by the WEDC. So the Brown County Board of Supervisors met in January with plans to sort of approve the memorandum of understanding. They decided to hold off until that grant was approved. But they're still in talks and thinking that it's more realistic than ever that they will be able to move the large coal piles from downtown Green Bay to the more industrial site.
Megan, you've been looking at how climate change is affecting our ports. What do you see?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is, as Tom mentioned, you know, Milwaukee suffered a big storm early last year that led to quite a bit of damage. So I think, you know, they will need to make infrastructure improvements. But the biggest thing is that it just makes things so much less predictable. For example, with the high water now, actually more freight can move through Wisconsin ports, but the water levels are less predictable than they would normally be. I think also the Port Milwaukee and the Duluth Seaway Port Authority, I know, are part of a green marine certification program. So, you know, not only are they feeling the effects and they're sort of locally, but they are also, you know, doing what they can to address the ways that they contribute to climate change. And as Tom also said, the actual cargo itself is changing.
Yeah, Tom, you know, are these ports incurring more risk due to our changing climate?
Well, as Megan just said, anytime you have less predictability as to the level of your water, yeah, that's going to affect things. You know, the removal of that contaminated mud, by the way, has that secondary effect of dredging material to make the shipping channels more accessible. So we do have that benefit as well. I just also wanted to add, Megan, talking about coal piles made me think of something we used to have here in Milwaukee, which was large coal piles that were no longer needed that sat on some of the harbor area. Once Wisconsin Electric switched its coal generating station here in downtown Milwaukee to gas, now those coal piles are gone, and we're building Komatsu Mining Company's new corporate campus there. So, again, people, the future isn't coal.
The transition continues. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you both for joining us. Tom Dakin, business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Megan Hart, WPR reporter based in Green Bay. Stay with us. News update is next on the Ideas Network.